Hey everyone, super interesting chat today with a leader in SD-WAN and connectivity solutions at AirSpring. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing well. Really excited for this chat. Connectivity is our lifeblood these days, and you know a thing or two about that. So I have lots of questions. Maybe before that, introduce yourself, your journey over the past couple of decades with AirSpring, and a peek at the mission these days.
Be happy to. So yeah, a little bit about AirSpring. So we've been in business since 2001 as a voice and connectivity provider. Although to give some background, it's a family owned and operated business. That's myself and my two brothers. We both are the ownership and active management, which is very unusual in today's marketplace.
Awesome. Fantastic.
We don't have any outside investors, no private equity. We're not a public company. So it allows us to drive the business and make the decisions that we think are right, both for the partner community that we work through and for our customers that we value. So we've been doing this since, as I said, 2001. So we're coming up on 23 years here. We just, I think next month will be our 23-year anniversary.
Wow.
And yeah, it's quite a journey, quite an evolution, as you know, being in this space for a long time of technology. And we love the journey. We love the excitement.
Wow, that's a great story. And I want to dive into that. Maybe fast forward to the present day. You know, talk about your current focus and your success with customers. And
sure.
How you're helping them.
So, we've been a connectivity provider. In the old days, people used to say aggregator. Today, we say managed services provider. It's really the same thing. We have agreements with pretty much every connectivity provider in the U.S., starting from AT&T, Verizon, largest, with every cable company, Comcast, Spectrum, Charter, et cetera, all the way down to small rural providers that most people have never even heard of.
Oh, wow.
And what that allows us to do is to particularly add value to multi-location enterprise customers where they can, you know, get a single bill, a single vendor to provide all of their services with one project management team, one solutions engineering team, one implementation engineering team that we assign to every customer. And it saves them from having to deal with 10 different vendors. Every time there's a problem or trouble ticket, instead of having to figure out which vendor circuit you're dealing with, you get to call one support engineering hotline that we have for our customers. So it changes the entire paradigm for them. And you may notice behind me on my green screen, it says AirSpring Global. And that's because what we've done is over the past 3 years, we've taken the model that we've perfected in North America, U.S. and Canada over the past 20 years, and really started to expand that globally. So we now have direct contracts with international providers, whether it be in Europe, South America, Asia, to do the exact same thing on a global basis. And so we're able to take global multi-location enterprises and provide the same set of services that previously we provided in the United States.
That's fascinating. And talk about your approach to SD-WAN. Everyone's seen the rapid growth and adoption of SD-WAN, so many solutions and vendors and different kinds of approaches. But you have a unique approach with a managed service. How does that contribute to success for your customers?
Yeah, so we've got, I'd say three separate aspects to our SD-WAN managed services. So we're a big partner with VeloCloud, which, as you know, was acquired by VMware, which is now acquired by Broadcom. So it's been some changes over there. And I think they're back to the VeloCloud name after the third acquisition there. But
Very nice.
We deploy a lot of VeloCloud globally. And we also have a global network of our own VeloCloud gateway facilities, 23 POPs globally that we support. In addition to VeloCloud, our model is really to offer best of breed solutions. So we also have Fortinet as another solution we offer for SD-WAN. What we've seen with SD-WAN is that, you know, it's one thing to be able to buy a device or, you know, edge device, but it's the implementation and the management and the deployment and then the ongoing support for that that really makes a difference. So we offer a fully managed solution where we will basically deploy the devices, we will make sure they're set up correctly, and then we will manage them on an ongoing basis through our 24/7 365 network operations center that is monitoring all of these devices. Some other neat things that we do is if a customer has circuits, connectivity circuits that they did not buy from us, they can go ahead and still plug them in to the SD-WAN that we've deployed, and we will monitor it at no charge on their behalf if they will sign a letter of agency allowing us to open tickets on their behalf. We will, let's pretend they had bought a cable modem broadband circuit from Comcast, not through us. I mean, they could buy it through us, but let's pretend they already had it. As long as they give us permission, we will then, our network operations center will open a trouble ticket with Comcast on their behalf. And 92% of all the trouble tickets or repair issues that occur, we open proactively on behalf of our customers before they ever notice it or call us, because we're monitoring all of their global networks in real time. So we'll do that on their behalf, even if it isn't our circuit that's been deployed there.
Well done. That's a nice value add. You're also getting into the IT service management space. Tell us about how that's going and what you're looking to offer exactly.
Yeah, so I think anybody who's been watching the space is aware that you're seeing the convergence of, well, SD-WAN really took the place of a traditional router. And now what we're seeing is the security in terms of SASE, SSE, et cetera, being layered into and intertwined with SD-WAN. So as you know, the next few years go on, I think there'll be individual standalone SD-WAN devices or customer premise equipment will become a thing of the past, and you'll see all of this intertwined with the security solutions. And so that's going to be where that comes into play. So basically, as security becomes more and more part of the fabric that we're providing to our customers, both with the Fortinet SASE, the VeloCloud solutions, and some other vendors that I can't mention quite yet, but we will be adding them probably in the next month or so, we're going to continue to layer on security solutions and, again, offer those in a fully managed environment the way we do our existing IT service management with SD-WAN and connectivity.
Wow, what a great value prop for customers. I'm sure that'll be pretty popular. You know, in the old days, as you know, of telecom, we used to talk about 5.9 availability, and, you know, things have changed somewhat, but how do you think about reliability and availability of the network and services? Sure. And what are your customers sort of demanding of you these days?
Great question. So I think customers, because more so than ever, everything they do relies on reliable connectivity. And so what happens is that if their network goes down, they're out of service. So usually with SD-WAN, what we're doing is we're providing a primary and a secondary or even tertiary solution. So we'll, common example will be for a particular customer site, we'll have primary being, you know, let's say fiber, secondary being maybe a less expensive cable modem type solution or fiber broadband that's significantly less expensive, but as a backup. And then we'll do a third option with 5G or some type of satellite. We're even doing Starlink these days for customers who have a remote site. So we're doing quite a lot of Starlink as well. So that's so, you know, we want to give them separate, completely diverse connectivity solutions so that if one goes down, the SD-WAN normally many times will take over without them even realizing. With VeloCloud, for example, you can have what's called hitless failover so that if you're on a phone call or video like we're doing right now, you wouldn't even know that one of the circuits had dropped. So there's definitely some advantages to that. And it's a... I work out of my home office now. Took me a lot of effort, but I got a second circuit put in because I eat my own dog food, so to speak, or at least I take my own advice in this area, which is don't rely on a single connectivity because, you know, you never know when that could go down. So I learned the hard way. You got to have a backup.
Well, especially these days in terms of weather, storms, floods, wildfires, it's a pretty brutal environment out there, as you know.
It is, yeah. And I'm in Miami, so we have our share of weather-related issues as well. But honestly, sometimes connectivity just drops for no reason. We have sunny skies, no weather, no anything, and boom, one of my connections goes. So I've got a backup.
That's great to have. And so, in terms of your customers' experience, I mean, the other thing we all know from being in this industry for decades is, you know, the interface to, you know, the customers or even resellers has always been a bit of a black box, not exactly user friendly or a great user experience. What sort of initiatives do you have there to make it easy to do business with you?
Thank you for asking. So we've been working, as I said, since 2001 on building proprietary software and platforms to support our customers, both in the back office and the front office. So we have a tool called Air Control, and all of our customers get access to that, and it gives them what we call a single pane of glass access to see all of the sites they have throughout the world, all of the connections connected to each of those sites, real-time status in terms of, you know, bandwidth, jitter, latency, packet loss, all those kind of things that you'd kind of want to know about, and incorporates many of the features you'll see both through our own network monitoring tools and then also the third-party platforms like the VeloCloud gateways or Fortinet, etc. So this is our tool called Air Control. It shows them the status of their orders as they're being placed, circuit IDs, all of the billing, all of that. So we think it's important to have that ease of use and that capabilities for our customers to make their journey as simple as possible. Although I should caveat that as much as, you know, you and I are both in the technology space and we see constant talking about AI and robots and all these cool things that are probably going to make us all obsolete at some point. The reality is that for now, humans are still very much part of the requirement, particularly in an industry like telecommunications, where we have, you know, a lot of traditional telcos throughout the world are 100 plus year old companies. If you think about when the telephone networks got built, and many of them are using, you know, underlying software that's been around for 30, 40 years longer. And so as much as we like to think that, you know, software is going to solve everything, we have a very experienced team of telecommunications staff and executives who work with every one of our customers to make sure their deployments go smoothly and that their services stay up. I'll just give you an example. A lot of people don't understand. I'd say when we're deploying customer sites globally, about half of what we're dealing with in terms of problems are construction issues in terms of getting fiber to the customer site. So we don't think about that. But if you think about a building where there may not be fiber today, it takes fiber. Even if fiber's in the road in front of that your building, your office building, it's got to get trenched to get into your building. Then we've got to get it up to whatever floor where the customer is. So, you know, sometimes I feel like we're a construction management organization, but there's a lot of project management, and that takes the human element. And then we have to work with our carriers. As I said, we work with, I don't know, probably 150 different global telecommunications carriers who have all different levels of sophistication, etc. And a lot of times we're dealing with, you know, people that we have to escalate things to. So we have every one of our customers is assigned a project management team, an engineering team, an escalation team to actually make sure that these things go smoothly and then get managed smoothly. And that's a big, big part. As much as I love the software that we have, software can only do so much today.
Yeah, it's funny how we forget telecom is a lot about cabling and connecting and digging trenches and things like that. That's not what we think of sitting behind our laptops here. A lot of your customers are facing all kinds of new challenges. And, you know, tell us about that. A lot of the changes are less about, you know, customer acquisition these days and more about being agile and flexible and introducing better customer experiences.
Sure. So we, you know, we, as I said at the beginning, you know, we're a family owned and operated business. So, you know, our reputation and our long-term success is what's important to us. We want to get referrals from our customers. We want to get referrals from our partners. And at the end of the day, the way we do that is by having an exceptional customer experience. And so I've been speaking about this on some interviews I've done recently, and we're trying to switch the industry to a perspective of what is it going to take to achieve customer success versus customer acquisition. And, you know, obviously everyone wants to acquire new customers and get new business, and, you know, we all want to grow and sales, we're all driving sales. But we understand, and we've understood for a long time now, being a family-owned and operated business, that unless our customers are happy and achieve the experience that we want, none of that really is going to be sustainable. And we're in this for the long term. And so all those initiatives that I mentioned, where we assign teams to manage our customer deployments and implementations, is part of what we invest in. So we have a very high ratio of staff to each of our customers in order to achieve that success. If you think about the traditional experience as a telecommunications subscriber or customer, it's calling into an 800 number or toll-free number, going through some painful tree in order to finally reach someone who may or may not know what your situation is. And then if there's a ticket you open, you have to then hang up and call back 2 hours later to get an update. Now you got to go through the whole thing again. It's painful. It's not the way things should be. And so a lot of what we focus on is how to remove the traditional pain associated with, you know, the telecom dinosaurs, which is the companies that basically drive this business, in order to you know, make it a much more pain-free process. And that's why those, you know, when our customers have a problem, they call directly to the tier three engineering pod that we've assigned to them. So, you know, we've done many, many things to remove those pain points, understanding that underneath it is still a very, quite frankly, antiquated industry that requires construction and a lot of things that we don't think about when we're just setting up our cloud computing infrastructure.
Wow, so well said. What a honest and insightful perspective on the industry beyond the marketing hype. So well done. Speaking of customers, I see you all over channel events and out talking to channel partners. I assume you're working with channels as well as agents and end users. How does that work?
Yeah, so we are 100% channel focused as far as our go to market. We don't have any direct salespeople. We haven't done that since our inception 23 years ago. So we've always been agent, channel, partner, whatever the word du jour is for what we're using. But that we work through industry professionals. And I think that's a very positive thing, because I think that partner channel community adds a lot to customers' experience. They help them steer them in the right direction. They know a lot of the pitfalls that customers may or may not realize. And then not only do we want our customers to refer business to us, but very importantly, we want to make sure that our partners, our channel partners, continue to refer their customers to us. And so that's also drives our focus to have great customer experiences. And as I said, customer success versus customer acquisition, because, you know, it's easy to get your first customer. It's getting your 1,000th customer that requires consistency. And, you know, it's always, I always use this analogy. It's like a restaurant. You know, you'll try a restaurant, you'll give it a shot for the first time, but if you don't have a good experience, you're probably not going to go back. It's the restaurant you've been going to for the past 10 years where you always know you're going to get good food and good service that is hard to achieve. And that's what we're trying to be in this business.
Well said. So you must see all kinds of interesting applications that your customers are putting on top of the network these days, unified communications and collaboration and contact centers, or does anything stand out, or is it everything kind of under the sun?
So it's very, we're somewhat, I'll say, agnostic. We obviously started in this business back in the days in our first company called AdTel in 1989 when it was long distance. So we do have voice services as part of our DNA, and we provide all kinds of voice, whether it be unified communications, contact center. We do offer contact center as a service, as well as traditional POTS lines, PRIs. We still do PRIs, analog lines, faxing. We still support faxing. So, yeah, exactly. You'd be surprised how much faxing still
goes on. I'm not surprised, sadly. Yes, but I guess.
There's a lot of faxing that still goes on. We have a cloud-based fax server for companies, whether it's law firms or medical, that still do a lot of faxing. So we provide all of that, although we're somewhat agnostic. We provide, Microsoft Teams has really exploded. We provide what's called direct routing for Microsoft Teams, where we can support the connectivity to the public switch telephone network for Teams customers and provide phone numbers and DIDs and all that kind of stuff. But on the other side, really, we have customers doing all kinds of applications. One of the great things about SD-WAN is that, it's creating encrypted tunnels in a very simple, on-the-fly, easy manner in real time. And so we have customers, we have no idea what's on their network and what applications they're running. And that's the way it should be. We don't want to know. That's their business. We want to provide the stable connectivity and let them run their own encrypted platforms on top of that and their own encrypted services. One thing talking about that is one of the things that you may be aware of is for customers of ours or companies that have locations in China, China has what is unofficially called the Great Firewall of China.
Right.
Basically, it's a government-run firewall that effectively blocks connectivity to many, many platforms outside. I know when I was in China a few years ago, you can't access Google. There's no WhatsApp. There's no Facebook, no Twitter, et cetera. So we have, through one of our partners in China, the ability to basically provide private connectivity that will allow our customers to bypass, we call it our premium internet access for China, to allow them to basically get out to the global internet and to connect to their services globally. And that's a big part of why we've done well with global customers who have, whether it's manufacturing or offices or whatever in China. It's very important that we can support that.
Very nice. We're in tons of business to be done. So all very exciting. What are you looking forward to out there the next month or two? Tons of events. I was just at Enterprise Connect, and there's a Cloud Communications Alliance Summit next week. And lots going on. Where do you like to spend your time out in the field?
So we have our marketing team and our channel team is out at events probably every week. I'll be honest, I don't go to all of them. I was at Channel Partners in Las Vegas recently. We do do an event here at IT Expo, which I think is in Fort Lauderdale again coming up next year. And so we participate in most of the TSB, the Telecom Service Brokerage events. And so we're out there all the time. I personally visit a lot of our partners and try to talk to our customers as much as possible. We had a booth at MWC in Barcelona for some of the mobile.
Oh, yeah, I was there. Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure you were there. So we support here in the U.S. All the major wireless networks, both for, wireless WAN backup. And then we're hoping this year, by the end of the year, to start deploying handsets and other mobile services as well. So I'd say our focus at this point is still we're continuing to scale our global services where we can, offer not only global connectivity, but global private networks, which we do, as well as delivering SD-WAN, and we can do engineering field services as well in hundreds of countries around the world. So that's a big part of what we're doing and has been a big part of what customers have been asking us for over the past year or so.
Fantastic. Well, onwards and upwards. One last question on a sort of personal note. What are family get-togethers like? Do they quickly degrade into shop talk and four-letter acronyms, or avoid talking work all the time?
It's been quite a journey. I've been working with my brothers for since 1989. So let's not count the years, a long time now. We go through phases where we try really hard not to upset everyone else by just discussing business. And then, of course, inevitably, it does devolve somewhat into shop talk. But I think we've reached a nice balance after all these years of keeping it to a minimum, so we can focus on family, which at the end of the day is the most important thing.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a fun reality TV show for us telecom geeks. So maybe we need to approach one of the networks and pitch that. But Daniel, thanks so much for joining. Congratulations on all the success, and I'm sure we'll see you out there in the field at one of the many industry events. Thanks for your time.
Evan, thanks so much for your time. Have a good one.
And thanks, everyone. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Bye.